wanted to discuss the perception, or perhaps misconception, that one is allowed to ask a child to turn on or off, a small child to turn on or off a light on Shabbos when it is in the undesired position, whether by accident or it happened before Shabbos, left that way, or it happened on Shabbos. And as we'll see, that really relates to a pasuk at the beginning of this week's coming parasha, Parashas Emor. But it touches on a number of areas of halacha. We'll try and clarify the issues involved and hopefully arrive at a psak lamais in this case and other related cases. Okay, so the pasuk tells us at the beginning of this week's parasha, Parashas Emor, Emor el ha-kohanim v'amar toveh, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded by the Ribbono Shalom to communicate the iser of tumas kohanim to the kohanim. But there is a double language that is used. Emor el kohanim, tell the kohanim, v'amar t'aleihem, and say to them. Why the double lashon? So Rashi on Chumash quotes from the Gemara in Masechtas Yevamos over here, Daf Kuf Yudal Amud Aleph, the last line, Emor v'amarta. Why the double language? L'hazir gedoylim ala ketanim, to warn the adults about the children. They're not only are adults not allowed to come in contact with a mace, to become tamei mace, but they are also prohibited from instructing or causing a kohen who's a katan from becoming tamei mace. My God, Amalhu loli tamei, lo the loli tamei luhu biyadayim. You're not allowed to be matamei a kohen katan biyadayim. Either instruct him to do so or to cause him physically to become tamei. So you're not allowed. This is specifically though by tumas kohanim. But as the Gemara Masechtas Yevamos collects two other psukim which have similar implications. There's a pasuk in Parsha Shmini, that's where the Gemara starts. Lo soichlum ki sheketim, they're not allowed to eat certain shkotzim v'ramosim. And that pasuk is extra, Rashi says. This iser is mentioned elsewhere in the Chumash. Why is it mentioned again in Parsha Shmini? Lahazir ha-gedoylim ala ketanim, to warn the gedoylim, not only are you not allowed to eat a sheketz, you're not allowed to feed it to a child. And again, the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, Kol Nefesh Mikem Lo Seich Adam, you're not allowed to eat blood. Again, that prohibition appears elsewhere in the Chumash. Why is it repeated again in Parshas Kedoshim? In order to teach us, the Lalis V'Luhu B'Yadayim, you're not allowed to feed blood to a child. Not only are you not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to feed it to them. So from these, from the combination of these three psukim, each one the Gemara goes through is necessary, because it teaches us some additional Chiddush, but from the combination of these three psukim, by Shkatzim, by Dam, and by Tumas Kaihanim, the Gemara derives a universal principle that one is not allowed to feed to a Katan, or to cause him to violate, or to instruct him to violate any Iser in the Torah. Which is the language which the Gemara calls Lo Sachilum. You shouldn't feed it to them. Or the Iser of Safin and Lakatan Iser Biyadai. You're not allowed to feed him an Iser in the Torah. And this applies not only to a child who has reached the age of Chinuch, even if the child has not reached the age of Chinuch, he's an infant, perhaps even a fetus. Look over here, Ois Hei, the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos, Shin Mem Gimel of Katan Beis, quotes the opinion of the Shach, who's quoting a Sefer Rokeach, that not only, of course, is an adult Kohen not allowed to go into an Oyel HaMeis, normally his wife is allowed to go into an Oyel HaMeis. Eishes Kohen is allowed to be Metamei to a Tamei Meis. But if she's pregnant, and maybe she's pregnant with a male child, so perhaps we have to be concerned if she's going to go into a hospital, she's going to go to a levaya, or an oil where there's a mace, even though she is permitted to become tummy, but perhaps the child who's inside of her is now becoming tummy, and she now has been mitame him biyadayim. She has caused him to become tummy. The Sefer Rokeach says, no, it's allowed because of a sveik sveika. Maybe he's a zachar, maybe in a keva. Even if he's a zachar, maybe he's not a viable fetus. He's not a bar kayama, he's an afel. So it's a fake sfeika. The problem is nowadays, every couple gets an ultrasound. And if you want, you can find out what the gender of the child is. So you don't have the fake sfeika anymore. We know if it's a male child. So is an Ashes Kayan who's Uberes not allowed to go into an oil amei? She's not allowed to go into a hospital unless it's a life-threatening situation. So already there's other reasons. The Paiskim will jump all over this Rekeach. There's other reasons to be Mekel. The baby's inside of the mother. Something that's inside of you doesn't become Tameh. That's called Tahara Blua. It's a Mishnah in Masechtas Mikvos and elsewhere, in Aholis, I'm sorry. That something that's inside of you can't become Tameh. Or, who said to say that the fetus is obligated in the Isra of Tumas Kohanim at all? Who said he's a separate entity? He's part of the mother. So on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, in the Nesiv Chaim, he says, really, you only have to be concerned with this at the end of a pregnancy. In the later stages, when the child is itself a viable fetus, or, you know, it could live on its own, or is a, perhaps already an independent entity. So at the end of a pregnancy, if you know what the gender of the child is, so if Sternberg writes, really, you shouldn't go into an Oil Ames if you know that the child is a Zachar. Okay, but either way, no one questions the Sefer Rokeach's assumption that we have to be concerned about being metame a little child, even a fetus. No matter how small the child is, you're not allowed to feed him or cause him to violate any one of the Isurim in the Torah. And that's the first pasuk. In this week's parasha, Lahazik Gedolim Ala Ketanim by Tomei Meis. It's not only by Tomei Meis. We learn out from Shkatzim and from Dam, and together with Tomei Meis, that this applies to all Isurim in the Torah. You're not allowed to cause him to violate or instruct him to violate any Isur in the Torah. Okay, however, the Gilyon HaShas, or Bekiva Eger, and the side of that Gemara in Masechtas Yevamos, quotes from a Tshuvas Mutzo Me'esh, who asked the following question. The Pasuk tells us in Parashas Yisroi, in connection with Shabbos, Loisaz, over here, Perichov Pasuk Yud, Loisaz HaKol Melocha, Ata Uvincha Uvitecha. You shouldn't do any Melocha on Shabbos, you, your son, and your daughter. So who's your son and your daughter? What age are they at? How old are they? If they're above bar mitzvah, then that's you. The Torah is talking to them. Individually, they're obligated to keep Shabbos. Independently of me, the fact that they themselves are Jewish, obligated to keep Shabbos. So what lo yisasekom melacha ata you, uvincha vitecha, and your son and your daughter, writes Rashi, Elo, quoting the name of the Mechilta, Elo ketanim, these are even little kids. The Torah here is warning the adults that not only do they have to keep Shabbos, but they're not allowed to instruct or not allowed to cause their children to violate Shabbos. I also have to make sure my child doesn't violate Shabbos. So ask the Mutzal Me'esh, how is that different from the general Isur of causing or instructing a child to violate any prohibition in the Torah? I'm not allowed to cause a child or instruct a child to violate Tumas Kohanim. And that applies to all Isurim in the Torah. We learn from there to all Isurim. So then why does the Torah have to go out of its way by Shabbos to say, Ato vincho vitecha lahasi gedol mashvitzis ketanim? That's true by all Isurim. Certainly would be true by Shabbos as well. If all it seems to be redundant. That's the kash of the Mutzal Me'esh. Anybody see the other question? So B'chaim Oizer, in his Shuvas Achiezer, quotes two terutzim to this kasha. One he quotes in the name of Reb Chaim, which is a little bit limited, a little more lumdish. He quotes in the name of Reb Chaim that the Iser of feeding a child, one of the prohibitions in the Torah, causing him to violate it, is generic. Meaning if I cause a child to eat blood, I'm not in violation of eating blood. The child isn't either. He's a minor. He's a katan. But I'm in violation of causing a child to violate an Iser in the Torah. And that's a generic Iser. I don't know where it fits in, but it doesn't fit into Hilchas Dam. You follow? He's not in violation of eating dam. However, when it comes to Shabbos, that's what the Torah means to include over here by Loisasekom Locha Ato Vincho Vitecha. Then not only are you in violation of a generic Iser, but if you cause or instruct your child to violate Hilchas Shabbos, so you're in violation of Shabbos. It's corrupted or it's a violation of my Shvisa Shabbos from the fact that my child is being Mechala Shabbos. My Shvisa Shabbos includes not only that I shouldn't do Malacha, but that my children shouldn't do Malacha either. And if my children do Malacha, now it's not that I violated a generic Easter of causing a child to violate one of the Easter of the Isurim in the Torah, I've now become a Mechala Shabbos with all that implies. So if a person has his children or instructs his child to be Mechala Shabbos, he would have the Halacha in theory of Mechala Shabbos Dinu Ka'akum. Or in theory, if we warned him about this, perhaps, you know, he would be chai of all the einshim of Shabbos. He's a mechal of Shabbos, not just a generic iser of causing a child to violate one of the prohibitions of the Torah. You follow? So it's a little bit more inclusive or a little bit more detailed or specific than the general prohibition to cause or instruct a child to violate another iser. When you do it by Shabbos, now it's, I'm a mechal of Shabbos if I do it. However, Chaim Moizer says what I think is a little more simple answer, and that is that Loisazekom Melocha Ato Vincho Vitecha comes to include much more, or implies much more, than the Iser in general of Lahazer Gedol Mal Katanim, that I'm not allowed to be Metame, a Kayin who's a Katan. Because there, it's only if I do it B'Yadayim, if I instruct the child to do it, I tell him, go be Metame L'Kayin, or I bring the Kayin who's a Katan into a cemetery, or into an Oil Ames. But let's say he does it on his own. child wanders into an oil ames, am I in violation of feeding him an iser, of causing him or instructing him to violate one of the iserim in the Torah? No, he did it all on his own. However, by Hilchos Shabbos, that's not true. It's more inclusive. The Gemara tells us here in Masechta Shabbos, look over here, a mission of Masechta Shabbos, Kuf Chaf Alef Amud Aleph, Nachri Shabbos L'Chabos. A Nachri who comes to put out a fire, let's say I have a fire on my property, and no one's life is in danger, but there's only a possibility of financial loss. So I'm not allowed to ask a Nachri to do it, to put out the fire for me. Amir or Nachri is not mutter, even in the case of a financial loss. Ein Oimim L'Chabay. You're not allowed to tell him to put out the fire. Of course, no one's life is at danger. Va'al tichbeh. I can't tell him put it out or don't put it out. But if he's going to put it out, I have to tell him, don't put it out. I can't tell him actively, you go put it out. But if he's putting it out, I don't have to tell him, al tichbeh. I have to tell him, don't do that. He can do it. Gizintahay, put out the fire. Mevdeisha ain't shvisasa alein, it's not on my cheshbon. The Nachri goes and puts out the fire, he did that all by himself. But look carefully. About katan shabalakabais, a child comes to put it out, ain't shaymanlai. We don't let him do it. I have to tell him to stop. Mipnesha shvisasa alein, his shvisa is on my cheshbon. It's part of my shvisa Shabbos to make sure that my children are also being shavis from Malacha. So Gemara says, Shema mina, katan oichel nevelas beizim mitzuvan lafrisha. Does this mean if a child is violating a random Easter in the Torah all by himself, I have to tell him to stop? So this touches on the other two other issues that are relevant here. First of all, of course you have to tell him to stop if he's a bar chinuch. If the child is of the age of chinuch, certainly you have to tell him to stop. But let's say the child is not at an age of chinuch. Not yet. When does chinuch kick in? So when it comes to mitzvah saseh, it's when the child knows how to perform the mitzvah. That's the Gemara Masechtas Chagiga. When the child knows how to shake lulav, when he knows how to be misatef pitzitzis, then he's chayv in tzitzis, then he's chayv in lulav. Before then, not. When it comes to, you can do it if he wants, but it's not a mitzvah of chinuch yet. When by loy saseh, that's a little older. You have to know how to do ituf on a tzitzis, you have to know how to shake a lulav. Not so easy. Aseis are a little bit older. You have to know how to do the mitzvah properly. Then the mitzvah of chinuch kicks in. Los Aseis a little younger. The Mishnah Berurah writes, as long as he understands the concept of there being isurim, which I'll tell you, I had a ma'aseh this Shabbos. My son was a little bored, so he plays games on my phone. So he says to me in the middle of Shabbos afternoon, he said, can I have your phone? I said, no, normally, it's a debate. So I said, no, you can't. Shabbos. I said, there's no phone on Shabbos. So he says to me, please. Because that's what he does during the week. He didn't get the fact that Shabbos means it's different, like that we don't do things on Shabbos. So he says, please. So I said, no, it's Shabbos. I said, please, please. Because he knows during the week, if he hocks me enough, he'll get it. So he doesn't understand the concept of an Easter. Or for example, we don't carry in Manhattan when we're here for Shabbos, we don't carry. Not in this part, down there. So my son puts stuff in his pocket. He's 4 years old. He just turned four. He doesn't get the fact that every meal he likes to have milk. So he doesn't get the fact that it's, even if we're having fleishiks, he wants to have milk. We tell him we don't eat milk with. He just again doesn't get the concept. Okay, so then the chinuch doesn't apply. It's only when the child begins to get the concept of yisurim, which the Mishnah Berurah says is around 4 or 5, as was generally assumed. So, of course, there's a mitzvah of chinuch that global applies to all situations. But let's say a child is not yet at the age of chinuch, and he's doing a prohibition. A child is playing with a muksa toy on Shabbos, with an electronic toy, all by himself. He didn't ask me for it. And he's less than the age of chinuch. He just picks it up and starts playing with it. Or my child puts stups on stuff in his pockets, and he walks outside a place where, let's say in a place where there's no air. He stopped walking around with a bag of lollipops. That's what he wants. It's up to him. He did it all by himself. So do I have to tell him to stop? So if the child is not yet at the age of chinuch, so there's no mitzvah of chinuch. But let's say I see a child who's doing a random iser. Is there an obligation to tell the child to stop? So that's a machlokes in the Gemara in Yevamis. It's over here, Oizvav, Kuf Yogimel, Beis Kuf Yodal, Rumin Aleph. And we paskin that a katan oichel nevelos ein beis de mitzuvan lafrishoi. That's over here in the Shulchan Aruch, Oy Zion, Shin Mem, Gimel, Sif, Aleph, Katan, Oyachon, Nevelos, Ein, Bezim, Mitzuvan, Lafrishai. You don't have to make him stop. If he's a Bar Chinuch, Abal Aviv, Mitzvah, Ligor, Bo, Lafrisham, Issa, Deiraisa. If he's performing an Issa, Deiraisa, then the father has to go over to him and tell him, there's Chinuch. The Mishnah Berurah says there's also Chinuch and the Rabbanans too. Doesn't mean only Issa, Deiraisa. But there's the mitzvah of chinuch kicks in. So if there's a mitzvah of chinuch on this child, he understands the concept of isurim, or you know, so then there's a mitzvah of chinuch. But besides, if the child is below the age of chinuch, and the child is doing isur on Shabbos, playing with a muktzah thing, or is flipping the lights on and off, it might be annoying, you want to tell him to stop for that reason. But if the child flipping on and off the lights, you don't necessarily independently, in a vacuum, have to, you know, might influence the other children too, so you have to be careful about all that. But once you've solved all those other ancillary issues, that independently, you know, alone, I don't have to tell the child to stop. Cut an oichel nevelus, we paskin ein beis in mitzvah lafrisha. Why not? So Rabbi Chanan explains in the Kavod Ha'aretz, because a ma'isa avera that's performed by a katan is just simply not a ma'isa avera. It's not called an avera if it's performed by a katan. Not only is he not liable for punishment, but it's not called an avera at all. That was the discussion in the Gemara. Katan oichel nevelus beis in mitzvah lafrisha. Is it called an avera? Not called an avera. We paskin. Katan oichel nevelus ein beis in mitzvah lafrisha. The only obligation would be one of chinuch. If a child is doing an isur all by himself. But if the child is less than the age of chinuch, then it's okay. So why over here does the Gemara then say if a katan comes to put out the fire, that I don't have to tell him to stop? Why not? What happened to chinuch? Must be he's less than the age of chinuch. Okay, so if he's less than the age of chinuch, why do I have to tell? So why do I have to tell him to stop? He's doing it all on his own. The child went all on his own to put out a fire. An ambitious child. I know he's not at the age of chinuch if he's putting out fires, but okay. But the child went to put out the fire all on his own, not at the age of chinuch yet. Yet the Mishnah says you have to tell him to stop. Why do you have to tell him to stop? But why? I don't have to tell a child to stop doing an isur if he's less than the age of chinuch. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, bekatan ha'oisa ledas ovid. It's a katan who's doing it on instruction, or he understands that the father will approve of that which he did. Oh. So that's what the pasuk of Loisasa Komalocha Ato Vincho Vitecha is talking about, says Abchai Moise. If the child knows that the father wants him to do it. So even if the father didn't ask him to do it, he's not in violation of Lo Sachilum or of Lahazi Gedolim al Kitanim, of feeding or encouraging or instructing a child to do an Isur in the Torah. That applies to all Isurim. By Shabbos, it's even more expansive. As long as the child does it and he knows that the father will be happy about it, he's also, that's a violation of my Shvisa Shabbos. Because not only does my Shvisa Shabbos include that I refrain from Malacha, that my child refrains from Malacha, knowing when I'll be happy about it. And that's quoted over here, explained further by the Sefer Yireim. The Sefer Yireim writes, "Vincho vitecha dekra sheyodea shenoach lo la'aviv umitarch sha'aviv chafetz basoisa oisa." He knows that the father will be happy about it, and since the father will be happy about it, he does it. So that's a little less than the age of chinuch. Even if he doesn't understand the concept of prohibitions, he understands that the father likes certain things, and he will be willing to do what the father wants. Okay, so if you put up a child, let's come back to our case. If the child, you know, you have a light that you would like to be on and it's off, or a light that you would like to be off and it's on. So to instruct the child to turn on or off the light, well, let's start like this. If the child is about chinuch, there's nothing to talk about. If the child is above 5 years old, you can't do that. You have to be mechanech the child. Certainly you can't do that. So let's say the child is not about chinuch, a little less. Well, if the child knows that you're happy about it, So then even if he just knows that you'll be happy about it, even if he's not a bar chinuch yet, he doesn't understand the concept of prohibitions, he's surim necessarily, but he knows what you want and what you don't want, and he's going to turn off the light is what you want, so then you're in violation of loisasa komalocha, ato vin chovitecha. Once a child knows that you want it, even if I don't instruct him to do it, he just does it on his own, I'm in violation of that isa min atara of loisasa komalocha, ato vin chovitecha. But let's say you're dealing with a much younger child. The child doesn't even understand not only the concept of Isurim, certainly less than five, doesn't understand the concept of Isurim, but even less than that, he doesn't understand what the father wants, what he doesn't want. You know, a real toddler. So can you put him, next to the light and kind of indicate to him that you want the light to be turned on or off? So then the only issue we really have to contend with is the pasuk that's in this week's parasha. Emor v'amarta, l'hazi gedolim ala ketanim, that you're not allowed to instruct or cause a child to violate any Isur in the Torah. So am I allowed to put the child next to the light or near the light in hopes that the child will turn on or off the light? Is that called instructing or causing the child to turn on and off the light? Okay, Rabbi says, not higia l'chinuch. Higia l'chinuch, nothing to discuss. Not only that, he doesn't even understand that this is, he doesn't understand that I want certain things and he's at the age where he can give me what I want, commands, not at that age yet. If he is, and he understands that I want the light turned off, that's l'sa'at kum lo chatu min chavitara. I put him near the light, and children like pushing buttons here, there, and he's going to turn on or off the light. So is that called causing or instructing the child to violate an iser, which would apply even to an infant? You can't cause him or instruct him to violate an iser. So that, it seems to be not, from a Gemara in Masechtas Yevamos, it doesn't seem to be as much of an issue because of this Gemara in Masechtas Yevamos. The Gemara tells us, over here, Ois Vav, Kuf Yigimel Mebeis, Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna, Ir Kesulei Miftachi Debei Midrash, Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna lost the keys to the Beis Medrash, B'Shus HaRabim B'Shabbata. And it was just a rabbim on Shabbos, so they weren't able to get into shul. What are you going to do? Also, Kamei Rabbi Pedos, Amarle, he told them, Zil daber tali vitalia, go speak to the little girls and little boys. Litayu hasam, tell them, go play over there. We lost the key. They'll find the key for us. They'll bring it to us. We'll be in by the shul. You play over here, we'll be by the shul. So they're going to play, find the key, and bring it to them in the shul. So is that called, so obviously they're not higia lechinuch, otherwise you'd have to tell them if you find the key, you can't carry. They would know you can't carry in a place where there's no eruv. Obviously they're lo higia lechinuch, but they don't know that this is what the father wants. They don't know that. So we're talking about little kids, but is that called instructing or causing them to violate an iser by the fact that I just put them near the key? So the Rashba writes on that Gemara, it sounds like not. The Mamidano so samuch, if you just put him near a neveva, and the child puts whatever is near him in his mouth, and he puts the neveva in his mouth, I didn't instruct him to do it, I didn't cause him to do it, I put him here. I know whatever is near him and puts it in his mouth, and he takes the neveva and puts it in his mouth, and he's not higia lechinuch yet. So then I'm not in violation of causing the child or instructing him to violate the iser. I didn't tell him to do it, I just put him near it, and he put it in his mouth. This is a famous Rashba because there's a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer about a girl, Nebuch, who's a shaita, and she needs to be institutionalized. And the institution that will best treat her situation only serves non-kosher food. Situation will come up now. But Moshe has a similar tshuva where he calls the Chassam Sofer. So he says, are you allowed to enroll the child in such an institution knowing that in advance that they're for sure going to feed the child non-kosher food? Well, just like you're not allowed to cause or instruct a katan to eat machalas asuris, I'm not allowed to force feed a shaita as well to eat machalas asuris. So is this called me feeding the child machalas asuris? Or maybe not. Maybe I'm not the one who's feeding it to the child. I'm just putting them in an institution where there is machalas asuris. And it'll be put in a plate before them and they could choose to do whatever they want with it. So Sam Sofer quotes this Rashba and he says, if you're just putting the kid in a situation near the non-kosher food, the child is going to take the non-kosher food and put it in his mouth, but I didn't feed it to the child. So feeding lakat and isa biyadayim is not if he does it on his own, he knows I'm happy about it. That's only by Shabbos. Here it's only if I cause him, I feed it to him, I cause him, I instruct him to do it. Here, you're just putting the kid in a situation where they're near machol asuris, and they'll probably eat the machol asuris. That's not a violation of safinon lakat and isa biyadayim, of feeding the isa to the katan. This might be relevant to Yom HaKippurim too. Rabbi said, we don't think about it, but how are we allowed to feed kids on Yom HaKippurim? Kid is not chayv, let's say he's not at the age yet where he's fasting, even for chinuch purposes. But how am I allowed to feed a child? I'm causing him to violate an Isur in the Torah. That applies to all Isurim. How am I allowed to feed a child? So the Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma, over here, Ois Tes, on Yom HaKippurim, a child is mutter in all of the Isurim of Yom HaKippurim. He's allowed to do them, except mina'ilas ha-sando. Little kids should not wear leather shoes. Why? Why are they allowed and all the other ones and not this one? So the Gemara writes, Hanach delavi bisayu gazu behu rabbanan. These that are not essential to the child, wearing leather shoes. Not essential. Good, so put on regular shoes. Non-leather shoes. Hanach delavi bisayu hu. These which are essential activities to the child, like eating, or washing, they were never geyser on the little child. Rabbi Isai, Isurim of eating on Yom Kippurim, is it gzeira? No. It's a pasuk in the Torah. You're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. What about the other Isurim of Yom Kippurim? It's a machlaikas rishonim. Some hold the other inuyim of Yom Kippur, the Rabbanan. Some hold as Dairaisas, the first Ran in the 8th parak of Masechtas Yuma, has this machlaikas rishonim. are shari nuyim d'iraisa d'rabbanan. So the Ran asks, on those who hold that all of the inuyim of Yom Kippur are d'iraisa, but certainly by eating, we all agree, is d'iraisa, eating on Yom Kippur, how am I allowed to feed the child? Safina l'katan, isa b'yadayim, writes the Ran over here, oizid, v'imi d'iraisa, hechi shari, how am I going to feed a child on Yom Kippur? V'aksiv loy sa'ichlum, v'kari be loy sa'chilum, the Pasuk says you shouldn't eat shkatim, and we read it, loy sa'chilum, you shouldn't feed them. Lahazir gedolim alakatanim, you can't feed them isurim. How am I allowed to feed a child in Yom Kippur? So Rabbi Zay, there is a minchas chinuch that we don't talk about, where the minchas chinuch says you're not allowed to feed your child in Yom Kippur unless it's pikuach nefesh. Must be. How could you feed the child in Yom Kippur? You're violating this isur, feeding your child isurim. One answer could be it works by older children. I'm just putting the food down in front of them. What he chooses to do with it is up to him. I'm not feeding him. But what are you going to do about a baby? A baby, you actually literally take the food and stuff it in their mouth. How are you going to do that in Yom Kippur? What happened to Loi Sachim? It works by the big children. You can say, I'm just putting it in front of them. A little kid, not going to eat on his own. You have to force feed them. You can only feed them if they're going to pass out. Well, it's child abuse. You can't do that. So how do we resolve this issue? So Rabbeinu Tam, in the Sefer HaYashar, and the Chelek HaTshuva has already addressed this issue, and he says what I think has become the accepted answer. And that is Rabbeinu Tam writes, Lo Sachilum, the Isar feeding children Isurim, only applies, Lo Yishayach, he says in the second line, El Bedvarim Asurei Ve'evshu Bel Adam Kemo Dam. It's non-essential items, like blood. You don't have to eat blood. But food, any food item, Yom Kippur, all foods are equal. So food was never included in the Isar feeding children prohibitions. Even though right now it's prohibited for him to eat, food was never included within this global or universal prohibition of feeding children Isurim. Aval achilav is shesia e'etra, because the child can't exist without them. So once it's not included, it's not included. Carte blanche, or you can feed the child whatever you want on Yom Kippurim. The af agav the lo sakana hi chayshinam velo gazu. Even though it's not a sakana, Rabbeinu Tam says, we are afraid, and therefore they were never geyser. And what it means here, they were never geyser, is not that this is a gzeira, this is an Isur in the Torah, lahazir gedolim ala katanim, by shkatzim, by dam, and by tumas kahanim. What he means is Chazal were given latitude to interpret this Isur. We have that sometimes, even by an Isur d'oraisa, we're given latitude to interpret it. It's called law mesara hakosud ala chachamim. For example, many hold malach and chalamoid is d'oraisa, but what is malach and chalamoid? We don't know what it is. So that's up to Chazal to determine what it is, to interpret a vague pasuk or a vague concept in Daraisa. So to over here, Rabbeinu Tam says this was never included in the Isa mid Daraisa, feeding children Isurim, food items. Food items are never included. So you can feed with a child, of course, whatever he needs, whatever he wants on Yom Kippur. This is probably the best answer to a question that the Rishonim have about a practice that some still have of making Kiddush and Shul Friday night. In the times of the Gemara, they made Kiddush and Shul Friday night because there were people who lived in the shul. So since there were people who lived in the shul, they would make Kiddush for them because they were going to eat their meal in the shul. Nowadays, my own shul, we used to have a guy who lived there. But most of the times, you don't have people, a long story, not for now. Most of the times, you don't have people living in the shul. It's not a common occurrence. So that's why the Rishonim recommend not to make Kiddush and Shul. Why? Because it's not going to be Kiddush b'makom su'uda. Yeah, Kiddush has to be in the place where you're having your Suda Shabbos in order to give chashivas to the Kiddush, probably. Whole discussion. But why can you need Kiddush b'makom su'uda? But you need Kiddush. Kiddush can't take place in independently in a vacuum. It has to be accompanied with the Suda Shabbos. So that's why when they were making, people were eating in the shul, we made Kiddush and shul for the benefit of those who are eating the Suda Shabbos in the shul. But nowadays, no one's having a Suda Shabbos in the shul. And you have to have Kiddush, you can't have it independently, it has to be together with the Suda Shabbos. Or at least something of Chashivas, like Mezainis, which could also be a substitute for Suda Shabbos, for this halacha. But if you're having nothing, just Friday night, having wine, a little cup of wine, that's not good enough. It's Kiddush, Shalom, and Makom Suda. Shulchan Aruch recommends to abandon this practice. But, you know, in a shul, where certainly that starting new should not adopt this practice. But there were some shuls that had the practice, all the way from a long time, when there used to be people living in the shul. And if they wanted to continue the practice, people don't like abandoning the nugget. There's some shuls, you probably know, some shuls that continue to make Kiddush and shul Friday night. The problem is, it's not Kiddush and Makom Suda, so what do you do with the wine? You give it to the kid. Very nice. The problem is, you just fed the kid Thou goes ma'avinis on the bottom of the Rambam, as you just fed a kiddush, isa b'yadayim. You're feeding him drinking before kiddush. How are you allowed to do that? The kiddush is not valid. So he's eating before kiddush, or he's making kiddush. Shelo b'makom suda. So the Hagoyis Maimonides says, it's quoted here by the Magen Avraham, quotes this whole problem in Hilchos Shabbos. So Magen Avraham, Simrei Shabbos, Tesef, Kon Aleph, quotes the answer of the Hagoyis Maimonides, that perhaps the prohibition of feeding a katan needs to be a dayim, causing him or instructing him to violate an Iser, is only if it's an Iser. This is an improper Kiddush. So perhaps that's like a mitzvah asay. So to cause or instruct a child not to, let's say, put on tzitzis would not be included in this. It's only if you're instructing him or causing him to violate an Iser. That's the problem. Okay, so that's one possibility. The problem is you're dealing with a child higiyah l'chinuch, the child is not higiyah l'chinuch, it has to be a child who's higiyah l'chinuch, otherwise the bracha doesn't mean anything to the child. It's a complicated tumor over there in the Mishnah Berurah. However, the Magen Avraham has a separate explanation. The Magen Avraham says, b'chol midi dehu rebisa, anything that is a food item was never included in this Iser of lois achilum, of feeding it to the child. Food items were never included in this prohibition of feeding a katan an Iser. That's the best answer to that kasha. So we're feeding the child wine. Yes, it's true, but and that's an Iser. It's not a valid kiddush, or he's drinking before kiddush, but it never applies to food items. We mentioned last year, this is probably the teretz also, to the kasha that the Tel Zerov asked, or Blazer Gordon. Blazer Gordon asked, how is a mother allowed to nurse a child on Shabbos? Why? Because if you extract any liquid, yes, mafarik deraisa. If you milk a cow on Shabbos, it's a malacha deraisa mafarik. It's a derivative of dash, of extracting a liquid from a solid, like squeezing a lemon, squeezing a grape. So too, we derive from that extracting a liquid from an animal, like milking a cow. Or if a woman expresses milk, breast milk into a cup, it's a malacha deraisa, a mafarik. It would only be allowed in the case of pikuach nefesh, if the child needs it for whatever reason. But when would a child ever need to nurse? So a woman nurses a baby on Shabbos. Malacha d'oraisa. So the Gemara says, yes, stam tinok do mesukan eitz acholav. Generally, a tinok, it's a sakanas nefashos if he doesn't have food to eat. His whole food is from the mother. So his food is sakanas nefashos. But Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank notes that that's only in a time when there's no other food. Let's say a child's 2 years old, you know, a year and a half. He's still nursing, but he also eats regular food. Or there's formula. You know, I don't even want to offend anybody, but you know, there's formula. You don't have to. A mother doesn't have to nurse the baby. You give the child formula. So what's the heter to nurse a baby on Shabbos? Malacha d'oraisa mefarik. She's only allowed to feed the baby when he's going to pass out. That's called sakonis nefashos. That was the kasha of Blazer Gordon. So the pages and pages in the literature about this kasha. So the Pashat answer is, never, like Rabbeinu Tam, it doesn't apply to food items. Whenever you're dealing with food, the whole concept of lois achilum, of not feeding a child an Iser b'yadayim, does not apply. It's only when it's something the child can do without, but not food items. That's probably the answer to Yom HaKippurim as well. Okay, but getting back, let's get back to our situation with the light switch. Okay, so if we saw the Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamos that was noted by the Rashba, we related it to Yom Kippurim perhaps, that if you just put a child in front of the food, in front of the Malchalos Asuras, or I put him in front of the keys that are outside in the Shus HaRabim, and he's going to take it and bring it to us in the shul, that's not a violation of Lois Achilum. I'm not causing or instructing the child to violate the Isar. I put him next to it, and he decides to do it on his own. That's okay. So let's say over here by the light switch, if the child, again, is higi l'chinuch, nothing to talk about. If the child understands this is what you want, he's that old, that he understands this is what you want, and he's doing it for you, that's a violation of l'isasikom l'acha atovin chavitecha. But let's say I just put the child next to the light switch, I know he likes pushing buttons, and he's going to push the button on the light switch. Then you have to quickly move him away, otherwise he'll push the other way, he'll push it back. So you're allowed to do that or not? So it sounds like that's okay. Just to put the child near the light switch, if you take the kid's hand, and you put it like on the light switch, and you turn the light switch with his hand, then that's you did that. That's you doing malacha. But let's say I just put the kid near it, the kid plays, and he's going to turn off the light. That's fine. The problem is, Rabbi, I said most light switches, most little kids we're talking about are toddlers. They're 2 years old. They're pretty short at that age, usually. And light switches are a little bit higher up. Most people don't put their light switches on the floor. close to the floor. Most people's light switches are a little bit higher up. So how is a child going to reach that high? Well, you could put a chair, and the child could stand on the chair. The child's already standing on a chair. He probably gets the fact that you want it to be done. So we're probably talking a little kid. So you're going to have to hold the child up next to the light switch. Oh, yeah. So now, if the child would do it all on his own, you have a little crib, you move the crib over next to the light switch, and the child can stand up and knock the lights back and forth. I agree. I think that that's, that you put it near the kid did it all on his own, that's okay. But let's say you have to hold the kid there. So now you're participating. So is that really called the kid doing it all on his own? Our heter was, I'm just putting the kid next to it, and he's doing it all on his own. I'm here, I'm holding the kid, I'm participating. So the Gemara says in Masechtas Makis, turn over here, Ois Tez Zayin. The Tani Tana Kameder of Chizda, totally a separate area of halacha. Echad hamakiv ve'echad hanikaf loike. When one cuts off a pass harosh, whether he's the barber, or I don't know what they call it when you're getting your hair cut, a client, I suppose. When you're the client or the barber, you're both of them get malchus. If you cut off the payas harosh, the barber for cutting them off, he's the makif, and the nika for getting his payas cut off. Rabbi said, though, how can you get malchus? The guy is just sitting, the client is just sitting there. And usually, in order to get malchus, you have to do what? You have to do an action. A lav she'im b'maisa, there's no malchus. So he asked the Gemara, how does he get malchus? It's a lav she'im b'maisa. He didn't do anything wrong. So Rav Ashi, I remember, Messiah of a divrei hako. He moves his head back and forth. You know, like the barber says, move like this, he moves like that, he cooperates. So you're participating in the haircut. It's not only the barber, it's the client as well is participating in the haircut. So therefore he gets malchus. So you see, Misayeya, even if you're not doing it by yourself, you're just, you know, participating, the Easter could somewhat be relevant to you. So the Taz writes, you see from here, that anytime a person is Misayeya, he participates in an Iser. Even if he himself doesn't do it, the entire thing, you're also culpable. The Taz is discussing a situation of a woman who comes to the mikvah Friday night that she forgot to cut her nails. One of the halachas of chatzitza is not only does a woman have to clean underneath her nails, she's l'chatchila supposed to cut her nails. For whatever reason, we don't have time to get into that discussion. Because the nails might be a chatzitza. Let's say she forgot to cut her nails before Shabbos. So now she has a problem. She can't cut her own nails on Shabbos. That's Malacha Deiraisa of Goizes. Maybe Malacha Deiraisa. Malacha Deiraisa of Goizes. So what is she going to do then? She can't go to the mikvah Friday night. It's a problem. So can you ask a Nachri to come and cut her fingernails? It's my Mokai Mitzvah of going to the mikvah Friday night. Can you ask a Nachri to come and cut the fingernails? Well, what's the problem? The Nachri is the one who's doing the Malacha. He's the one who's cutting the nails. Oh, but she's sitting there. She's a willing participant. That's like Misayeya. So the Taz says, just like the client is Chayav Malchus for the haircut, it's as if he cut his own hair because he participates. So too, the woman whose nails are being cut, as if she's participating, as if she cut her own nails, Malachim Deiraisa of Goizes. Can't do it. The Taz has another suggestion. The question is, you don't need the nails. It's a whole discussion if the thing goes. Is that a Malachim Tzricha Leguf or Malachim She'in Tzricha Leguf? I don't want to get involved in that. But okay, it's certainly a problem, according to the Taz. The Shach, though, argues, and the Shach says, no! The Shach says, when this Gemara said, Misayev Adivrei Hakol, he's culpable, that's because the Iser of Hakafas Peas Haroish applies not only to the barber, it applies to the client. The Pasuk says, Lo Sakifu Pas Roishechem. You should not cut, but Lo Sakifu is Beloshin Rabin. There's a lav, a loisase, on the barber, and a loisase on the client. The Gemara's only question was, the client has his own loisase. The Gemara's only question was, he's not doing anything. How can you give him malchus? Lav she'im b'maisa. So Gemara answers, he's doing something, he's misayeya. But that doesn't mean to imply that if you're a participant, it's as if you did it yourself. No. It's only where there's a separate prohibition on a client who got his hair cut by someone else. Lo Sakifu includes not only the barber but the client. The only question one, he's not doing anything. So Mar says, Misayev Divrei Hakol. That doesn't mean to imply that in Kol Torah Kula, if I'm a participant, it's as if I did it myself. No. So the Shach allows the woman to have her nails cut Friday night. But getting back over here, So certainly, according to the Taz, if you pick up the child, you're a misayaya. It could even be it's like you're turning on the light. You're participating. I think it's a little bit different, even for the Taz, it's a little bit different, because here you're participating in cutting the nails. I'm not participating in cutting the light. I'm holding the kid up, and the kid is turning off the light all by himself. I don't know. I don't hear it so much that it's as if you turned off the light. But I don't think you can call it anymore, even according to the Shach, who allows the woman to have her fingernails cut. She's just a willing participant. It's not as if she cut it herself. Yeah, it's not as if you did it, but I don't think we could call it that you didn't cause or instruct the child to turn off the light. You're holding the child there. It sounds to me like, at this point, it's not the child who's doing it all on his own. It sounds like you're aiding and abetting at this point. And you're causing the child to do it. I don't know if you're the one who's doing it yourself, but it sounds like you're causing the child to do it. So that's very different than just putting the child there. The child does it all by himself. Here, I'm participating. I don't know, I have a hard time viewing that as if the child is doing it all on his own. That sounds like lo sachilum, or like lahatzi gadol malakatanim, not to cause or instruct the child to violate an iser. Nonetheless, perhaps there is room. So to turn on a light, I don't think is mutter to hold the child up to the light to turn it on. I don't hear that. But to turn off a light, where it's an iser derabanan, there might be a little bit more wiggle room. The Rashba writes over here, Oisud Gimo, that even though we have this universal principle, you're not allowed to instruct or cause, encourage a child to violate any Isser in the Torah, that's only an Isser midoraisa. Umihu mashmali to be certain shall devrei and mutalo lamaloi lecho beferish. You're allowed to tell the child to eat it, if it's an Isser derabanan. That's the opinion of the Rashba. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam who disagrees. Look over here, Ozayin. All the way back says, "Lachilo biyadayim asar afilu dvarim shasur midibrei sofrim." To feed it to the child biyadayim, that Shulchan Aruch holds is even by an isa derabanan. But the Rashba is willing to be mekel by an isa derabanan. So lechachilo, I don't even think to turn off a light is mutter for a child to hold up the child to do it. It sounds to me like you're participating, you're instructing, or causing the child to do it. But the Rashba would be mekel by an isa derabanan. Yeah, but we don't pass in like the Rashba. The Rashba is not quoting Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch would pass in even in Issa Midrabanan is also. Nonetheless, there were Paiskim throughout the generations who were Soymech on this Rashba b'makom Tzorech. The Tiferes Yisrael is quoted by Rabbi Kiva Eger, in the Tshuva of Rabbi Kiva Eger. So he has a Tshuva about the Minig that was prevalent at that time, that if people forgot their sitter at home, or they forgot their talus at home in a place where there was no Erev, they would ask a child who was Lehigia Lechinuch to bring it to shul. Why? But you're instructing a child to violate an Isser Midaraisa. An Isser in the Torah. Not Isser Midaraisa. They lived in a place, let's say, was not a Rosh Hasharabim. It was a Carmelis. Like a suburban area. Not Times Square or big metropolis. They lived in a suburban area that had no Erev. So they would instruct the child to bring the sitter, to bring the talis to shul. Why? It's an Issa Derabanan. Even though you're instructing them to do it, it's only an Issa Derabanan. And they relied on this Rashba. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger asks on the Tiferes Yisrael, he says, even though the Rashba said by an Issa Derabanan, you're allowed to instruct the child to do it, even the Rashba only allowed it if it's for the benefit of the child. Look over here, Ois Yadalin. The Rashba says, "Hello, casually, the kevin da'av l'tzarech aviv lo l'tzar koy aser." Even if it's an isa derabanan, if you're doing it for the benefit of the father, not for the benefit of the child, so even the Rashba would never allow it by an isa derabanan. Even the Rashba would never allow it. Why? Because if you do something for the benefit of the father, the Rashba explains elsewhere, it makes a greater impact upon the child, and he might remember this when he grows up. That, oh, they gave me to drink in shul. Yeah, I remember that. Must be you're allowed to drink in shul. He'll remember it. If it was for his benefit, he did it all on his own, he's not going to interpret anything from that memory. But if he was told to do it, he might learn from that. And it will make a greater impact as he grows older. So therefore, the Rashba says, if it's for his purposes, for himself, his own benefit, then it's allowed if it's an Issa Derabanan. But if it's for our benefit, not. Nonetheless, the Paiskim said that that's only if it's something, even the Rashba, who asered it, if it's the Tzarech the Katan, allowed it if it's, asered if it's the Tzarech the Father, allowed it if it's intermittent, if it's once in a while. Look over here, Ois Tezvav, The Rashba is discussing why we're allowed to feed the katan in shul, the kiddush, shaloi b'makom suda. So Rashba says, because generally there were guests. He's not talking about it. In our shul, it's like a, you know, it's part of the protocol. You give it to the kids. It's like a, you know, a chazaka, which kids get from the kiddush in the shuls that continue to do this. So I don't know if the Rashba's heter would apply anymore. The Rashba said, because it was so rare that they didn't have a guest, the child's not going to remember this. It's not going to make an impact on the child. So if it's intermittently, it's once in a while, they forgot the talis, they forgot the sitter at home to ask the child to bring it, even though it's for the benefit of the father, not for the benefit of the child, they relied on the Rashba. So if it's once in a while, and it's an Issa Midrabanan, perhaps you can instruct the child or even cause him to violate an Issa Midrabanan. Issa Midrabanan is certainly not. But an Issa Midrabanan, maybe you're allowed to be Safin on the Katan, Issa Biyadayim, if it's once in a while, and an Issa Midrabanan. So that's why perhaps to turn off a light, even if you have to hold the child up to turn off a light, perhaps there's room to be mekel, because turning off a light we generally consider to be a malacha she'ain tzricha legufa. Even if there is a glowing filament, I don't need a burnt out filament, I don't need the product of malacha, so it's an only nisa midrabanan. To turn on a light, specifically one that has a glowing filament, that's probably nisa midaraisa of havara or bishul, whatever. The nisa deraisa, to turn on a light, I don't think there's any hetter to hold up the child. But perhaps to turn off the light, maybe there is a hetter, if it's once in a while, and there's a need. To rely on the Rashba, that you can feed or cause a child to do an nisa b'yadayim, if it's only an nisa midrabanan once in a while. Even there, one could argue, you're participating, you're holding the child. But we're makel generally by the cutting nails, misayeya, like the shach, so over here too, maybe you could pile that on. Once you're doing all this, I mean, if you're in a situation, let's say, let's come back, okay? You have a light on in the bedroom. Child is higiyah l'chinuch. I don't think that. A child understands what you want. I don't think that's a. It's a child who doesn't understand what you want. You put him near the light switch. You hold him up, and he'll turn off the light. What's the heter? You're feeding him an iser, causing him to do an iser, but it's only an iser midrabanan once in a while. Already at that point, though, it's probably preferable to use a nachri. The Shulchan Aruch says we have a heter called Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah. So to turn off a light is a derabanan. To ask a nachri to do it, even if you ask him directly, is an isa midrabanan of amir or nachri. And if it's b'makom the mitzvah of einik Shabbos, like you want to sleep in the room, if you have 15 bedrooms, you have no heter for this. But if you want to save electricity, that's not einik Shabbos. But if you have someone who wants, the kid turned on the light in the guest room, and someone's supposed to sleep over there. So it's probably preferable. You could add, maybe you can hold up a little kid and turn off the light. I think at that point, though, it's preferable. If your little kid will just play there and turn it off all on his own, yes, that's okay. But if you have to hold the kid, that's feeding the child an Issa d'Rabbanan b'yadayim. I think at that point, it's already better to ask a nachri to do it, where you have the het of shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, who's the son-in-law of Yerushalmi Zalman, writes that the pecking order is, it's even most preferable in that situation, where you can't just let a kid play there to turn it off, would be to ask a nachri to turn it off. Second would be for you to do it kalachar yad, for me to do it with my foot, let's say, to turn off the light. Or your nose, if you have one of those, you know, you could just hit into it like this. You hit into it, and turn it off with your nose, at the back of your hand. I don't know if that's so, even though it's literally kalachar yad. I would go a little bit more extreme, maybe with your elbow or your nose, turn it off. Kilacha yad, that's derabanan. Turning off a light is itself derabanan. Muta b'makom ayinik Shabbos. That's the second preference. Third preference would be to use a katan. But the other two options are more preferable. I always prefer that because otherwise you have chinuch issues. The other children see, you know, you get the borderline, is the child a bar chinuch, child not a bar chinuch. I think that the other options are much safer. Than doing it through the use of a katan. Yeah.
If the Yisra itself is asked on your own, you start telling you to do something, wouldn't that be a derisa or not a derabana? Because they came from the Torah,
and they both have simulacha, tav, itav, mitzvah. Yeah, so
instruct a non-Jew to do it. But you're saying a non-Jew you do straight out, or you have to do it?
Yeah, that's an Yisra derabana that I might come to do it myself. Amir and Achri is all derabana.
But a kid in general, that's derisa.
Could be derisa. Yeah, if the child understands it. If he's old enough, he understands it's what I want. Rabbi said, one last thing is, why is this Iser, it applies to all these two, why is it learned out that you're not allowed to instruct or cause a child to violate an Iser in the Torah, which was the basis for most of our discussion? Why is it applies to all these two, we said, it's by Shkatz and by Dam. Why is it specifically communicated to us then by Tumas Kohanim, which only applies to a limited part of the population? just to Shevet Levi, or just even less than that, just to the Kohanim of Shevet Levi. Why does the Torah communicate this Issa to us in that limited context of Tumas Kohanim, teach it to us in something that applies to everybody? Why right there? So Rav Zalman Soroskin explains in his Odnayim L'Torah, a beautiful idea which we need to keep in mind more often than we do. He says we have to learn from the Kohanim how to be Mechanech children. How does a Kohen Mechanech his child? All the other children, I mean, I don't think children come with this taina, but are allowed to marry a Grusha. Says, Daddy, why can't I marry a Grusha? The other children are all allowed to marry a Grusha. But they might come, why am I allowed to go to Beis HaKvaris? You go on a trip in Eretz Israel, half of it is Kivrei Tzadikim. So they're allowed to go to the Kivrei Tzadikim. I'm not allowed to go. Why am I not allowed to go? It's not fair. The child's favorite line. It's not fair. What does the father answer when the child says it's not fair? So Zalman Soroskin says, well, this is what the father says to the child. The father says to the child who's a Kohen, you know why you're not allowed to do these things? Because you're special. Because you have a unique mission, a unique job in life to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you have to conduct yourself in a different way. You have a unique calling in life. And we need to learn from the Kohanim that that's how we need to educate children in general. With regards to all of these prohibitions, Chinuch, feeding a child in Easter, Shabbos, we need to instruct children. These are not restrictions. These are not things, the obstacle course of halacha that you need to somehow sidestep or somehow not fair to you. Well, you have to keep all of these halachas because you're special, because you have a unique calling, a unique mission in life to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what we need to learn, to extrapolate from the Kohanim to all children. Okay, Shkarech Rabbeinu Zal.